Welcome to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite and Sports Byline, and we're joined by the hot new star of Major League Baseball, the World Series, and playoff coverage, a guy whose haircut is causing more of a stir than just about anything else. Buddy, I love that hair. How are you, Eric?
Nick, the problem is no one's listening to what I have to say because everyone's paying attention to my hair. So, you know, I'm trying to get some good info out there, and then next thing you know, all I hear about is my hair.
You're just a sex object.
That's terrible. You know what, though? If all the commentary was written up is because I was a sex object, I wouldn't be complaining about it to you, Nick.
Hey, listen, Eric, you've done a great job. And first on ESPN last week, I think what the people love about it is you're not afraid to express your opinion and you have a sense of the excitement of the moment. How'd they get you into doing this in the first place? Is it something that you'd planned on doing in your career?
No, this is something I just started having fun with. When I was in AAA in Sacramento, there was a radio station that kept bringing me on. And they'd ask me kind of off-the-wall questions, some obscure stuff about, like, maybe checking out the chicks in the stands or whatever it was. And so we had fun, and that turned into getting my own gig, getting my own weekly show where I go on with these guys. And I've been doing that for about 6 years. And then a couple off-season ago, I started doing a lot of radio work up in the San Francisco Bay Area, working for KNBR and filling in and doing some hosting some shows and stuff. And then I did it with the Best Dance Sports Show a couple years ago. I did that again. It's just one thing kind of leads to the next. But you know, this fall season, this is as much as I can handle. I've gone. It started in Bristol, Connecticut. I worked for ESPN for 3 days. I came back home. I hosted my own radio show for 3 hours in San Francisco. I then went down to the Best Dance Sports Show, did that for a week.
You're everywhere.
Yeah. And then I parlayed that into the Fox, working for the network and doing the playoffs and the World Series. It's a lot. But I'll tell you what, there's some certain things that I'm learning right now. One of those things is all the money's in network television, because that's the big horse. That's the one that actually pays
baby.
The bills.
Listen, we're gonna go to a break. When we come back, Eric Burns will be joined by a guy who has a little bit less hair but no less wisdom, Jim Beattie. We'll be right back in just a second. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
How would you like to cut your credit card payments by 30% or more? Genesis Financial can help. They have a program that can reduce your high interest rates to single digits or even 0%. You can get more cash in your pocket every month to ease the stress and burden of excessive credit card bills.
Genesis Financial helped us, so we can sleep at night again.
We can even answer our phone.
The weight's been lifted off our shoulders.
Working with Genesis, we truly feel like our prayers were answered.
Get a fresh start without going bankrupt, plus get hundreds of dollars back in your pocket. Call now for a free, no-obligation consultation. Let them show you how to cut your debt by 30% or more and save you thousands in interest, late fees, and penalties. The consultation is absolutely free. Call 800-470-4331. That's 800-470-4331. Don't wait another minute.
Genesis Financial gave us our life back.
Not available in all states. Individual results may vary. Genesis Financial, 800-470-4331.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
You know, they called it the British invasion when the Beatles came over with those Beatles haircuts. But let me tell you, Eric Burns, it's the new haircut. It's the new generation, buddy. And you're joined by a man who just a week ago was saying, as we gave him the choice of a Luis Gonzalez haircut or an Eric Burns haircut, it was unanimous. Both Josh Burns and Jim Beattie came down heavy on your side. So congratulations.
Oh, God, I'm not sure about that, because every time I talk to Josh Burns, he's always all over me about it. I actually got a call from Bob Melvin the other day, too. I got a call from him yesterday. He told me to mix in a comb with that haircut. So these guys, if they're saying that, they're definitely not relaying that information to me.
Well, Bob Melvin has been on the show this weekend, and Jim Beattie, you wouldn't care. I mean, let's face it. The Boston Red Sox did not seem to have a problem with their performance on the field based on their haircuts a couple years ago. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Hey, Nick. How are you? I want to say hi to Burnsy. I traded for Burnsy about... I guess it was 05, Burnsy, it was. You came over, and I had to tell him that I used to wear my hair like that when I was young, but it puts so much stress on the roots. By the time you get my age, it just all falls out. So tell him be careful.
Yeah, I hear you, Jim. My next move, I'll be like Andre Agassi. I'm just going to let it flow, and then after that, I'm just going to lose it. I'll just take it all off. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, you know what? We're going to
line it up.
Hey, the great. This is Jim. I've been wanting to talk to you. You didn't have anything to do with releasing me, did you?
I was gone by that point.
I know, you were gone by that point. And I'll tell you what, I got a question for you, though. And honestly, I hate to jump in here, Nick. But
go for it, buddy.
I wanted to ask somebody in the Baltimore Orioles organization this. Because what happened is Baltimore, Jim traded for me and gave me an opportunity to go out there and play, and I was very appreciative of that. Lee Mazzilli at the time was still the manager. And according to him, what he told me when I came over there was that he had he had some influence in getting me over there, and he was real excited about having me. And I got over there and I struggled. And it was, I just didn't hit. It was a tough situation. The Orioles were on a downslide at the time. It was just a lot of X factors that just weren't working out for us. What happens is I would have been arbitration eligible. Now, at that time, Jim's right. He was gone. Well, what they did is they non-tendered me a contract. So, essentially, what the Orioles did was release me. Now, when you get released and you go into the market, the free agent market, generally speaking, you go to take, you're gonna take some sort of major pay cut and then you go on and hopefully I was going to find a job. So when the Orioles non-tendered me, I was thinking what that means is I had no trade value. They can't get rid of me. They can't get somebody who would tender me a contract and pay me what I made, say, the year before. So the Orioles went ahead and just released me, got nothing in return, and then I ended up going out on the free agent market and making more than I did the previous year, which makes me look at that situation, Jim. Why wouldn't the Orioles just traded me as opposed to putting me out there in the free agent market? I mean, just to get something in return back. So, because as you look back on it, then all of a sudden you guys gave up Larry Bigby, who was such a big prospect for a long time, and myself for nothing, and getting nothing in return over there in Baltimore. Now, to your defense, Jim, like you said, you weren't there.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I wasn't party to everything that happened at that point because I said I was gone, but in our mind, we were going to, in all likelihood, either try to re-sign Larry Bigby to a much smaller contract or end up non-tendering him as well because he was arbitration eligible. So we would not have kept him. The second point of that is by the time, typically when you're going to look to, you know, the non-tendering arbitration process is something that you attend to before December 20th. If they had interest in keeping you, they should have approached you about, this is the contract we have for you. If you're interested in signing that, good. If not, then we're probably going to look to non-tender you and have that conversation if they have interest in keeping you. Unfortunately, I think, Eric, when you did come over, there was the second move for you that year. You put a lot of pressure on yourself to try to fit in, to do some things to help the club, and ended up, as you said, you struggled. And I think that part of it, you know, when you have someone in your organization that gives you a chance to, you see them on a daily basis in person, what they do, and it obviously it didn't play very well when it got to the arbitration decision. And again, I wasn't part of it, but I'm looking at them probably saying, you know what, we probably can. And I would think they may have tried to trade you, but it's no secret that a lot of clubs are going to non-tender. So clubs would say, well, I'm not going to give up anything for them because I can get them on the free agent market and pay them what I want then if I can get them
listen, guys,
to join my club.
I feel a lot of love here between Eric and Jim, and you know what? The same thing happened to me in 93, and essentially, you know, when I was asked to take a pay cut after leading the NFL in percentage by about 10%, and, you know, what I like is, Eric, the fact that you've been able to maintain the good relationships, and people like Jim Beatty still feel great about you, and I have to take my hat off to you that, you know, you've handled this situation, this transition from Luis Gonzalez as well as Luis has in a way that few people do, but let's shift for a few minutes, since we do have a few minutes left, about you know, the World Series, and I'm going to start off with Steve Palermo, who's actually based in Kansas City, used to come to Chiefs practices all the time, and about his comments about this interesting Kenny Rogers situation. And I liken back to the Mickey Lolish era, when Mickey Lolish basically could not throw a ball. He was so in control and turned around that series for Detroit, but maybe he wasn't using what Kenny Rogers was using. Here's Steve Palermo.
There was no formal request made as far as Kenny Rogers being inspected. It was just detected that there was a noticeable dirt mark of some sort on his left hand, his pitching hand. And after the first inning, I believe it was, Alfonso Marquez, the home plate umpire, just asked Kenny to remove that dirt so that there wouldn't be any question as far as any controversy.
You know what? The bottom line is, guys, that Kenny Rogers pitched 8 shutout innings, 7 of them after that ball was, that hand was washed off. So my question, let's first start with Eric Burns, is really the damage that he did the suggestion, kind of like a Gaylord Perry, it's putting in the heads of the players on the other team that he might be doing it, and that's really the psychological win that he won?
You know, I think that, well, first of all, I talked to Steve Palermo, and Steve Palermo offered me the same explanation in the tunnel with 3 outs to go in the game. Nothing against Steve Palermo, and not that I think that he's fabricating what happened, but, you know, for me, I'm looking at Kenny Rogers' hand, and that noticeable dirt mark appeared not to be dirt. So if I'm looking at this situation, if I'm Tony La Russa, in Tony's defense, I don't think Tony knew exactly what was going on because he had a clubhouse kid come down and tell him something about it. And that's how the whole thing got brought to notice. None of this would have came up if it wasn't for Fox Television and all the cameras and all the high def that picked up the spot on Kenny Rogers' hand. But the thing is if I'm Tony, I'm causing a stink about this. I'm not going to let this game go on because I want to win a World Series. I want Kenny Rogers out of that game, and I want him suspended for the rest of the series. So
What's interesting is you got Tony La Russa saying there's no indication from the clubhouse something's going on with the pitcher. I have a decision to make. I decided I was not going to be part of the garbage where I was going to ask the umpire to go to the mound and undress the pitcher. Do you think that's because he has so much respect for Jim Leland? He figured it was handled, and he just didn't want to. He wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt the first time around.
Yeah, he had respect for the pitcher, for Kenny. I think he had respect for Jim Leland, and I think he had respect for the game. of baseball, and he didn't want this to be marred in controversy. But let me tell you something. I think baseball needs a little controversy. This is an American society that loves gossip, that loves controversy. And I'll tell you what, I think that this right here is actually good for the game. I think this might even help the ratings for Major League Baseball. Why do you think Fox was searching for something like this? Because this is a regionalized World Series. This is a World Series that the first game was one of the lowest rated World Series of all time because it's regionalized. You're talking about the same markets in Detroit and St. Louis. So I think this is good. The steroid controversy is over. The labor agreement's just about done. All of a sudden, here we have it. We got controversy again.
Yeah, baby. Hey, Jim Beattie, we know you got to go here in the last minute. Tell us your take on this. Does this remind you of the Gaylord Perry days or what?
Well, on first part, I think any pitcher knows what's on his hand. I mean, you know if you've got a little hangnail, you know if you've got anything going on in your pitching hand. So, and if you do it yourself, you look and you can touch your fingertips right to that spot on your palm to put a little extra whatever it was on your fingertips to give you some grip. But on the other hand, given the scrutiny that TV cameras give players and pitchers and everybody else, it's so obvious that you can't believe that that's what it was. But, you know, it should have been, I think, during the game, made a bigger deal of it than it was. And, in fact, Kenny Rogers has been, I saw an interview, he said the umpires never mentioned it to him. The umpires came over to him to talk to him about not going out too early in the inning because it's so cold and we've got to wait for the commercials to break. So pace yourself that way. They didn't mention anything. He said he just kind of noticed it when he walked off the mound and went in and watched it himself. And so
yeah, well, listen,
we're hearing
unfortunately, we got to go to a break here. But, Jim, thanks for giving us your input on this. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. And also, heaven forbid, we actually talk about the matchup tonight with Carpenter and Robertson when we come back with Eric Burns. And, Jim, thanks again, as always, for joining us. Hopefully we'll talk to you later in the week.
All right, guys. Have fun. Burnsy, good luck. Good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity last year. Even though it didn't work out, I appreciated that. Thank you, though.
You bet. Take care.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with Eric Burns. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the 7 key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest. If you're one of the 45 million Americans without health insurance, now there's an affordable healthcare solution for little more than a dollar a day. That's right, for little more than a dollar a day, you can save from 10 to 60% on Prudent Choice's comprehensive independent network of over 850,000 doctors, hospitals, vision, hearing, chiropractic care, and pharmacies. And because Prudent Choice is not health insurance, but a nationwide healthcare discount program, there are no deductibles, no waiting periods, and you can't be turned down, regardless of age, medical condition, or residency. That's 100% guaranteed acceptance. If Prudent Choice isn't the best healthcare decision you've ever made, cancel your membership and receive a 30-day money-back guarantee refund. With Prudent Choice, you'll never pay full price for your healthcare needs again. Join now and get $300 in healthcare services free. Call in the next 9 minutes, and with annual membership, get 2 months free. Call Prudent Choice at 1-800-231-0429. Call 1-800-231-0429 now and start saving on all your healthcare needs for little more than a dollar a day. That's 1-800-231-0429. Not available where prohibited by law.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite with the very shy Eric Burns. Hey, buddy, thanks again for joining us.
I didn't mean to put Mr. P on the spot there. I was just a question
sure
that I had because, like I said, because they released me, I went out into the free agent market, and I ended up making more in the free agent market than I would have made through the arbitration process. So what I didn't understand is
it's a they bad lost an opportunity.
By the Orioles. Yeah, it was a bad business move by the Orioles because they at least could have gotten a bag of rods and a box of baseballs for me.
Well, that's why they should have held on to our buddy Jim Beatty, because they have not exactly made a lot of great moves in the last year. And it is kind of, do you ever think of yourself as the general manager and making those moves? It just seems like some teams are much more in touch. That's what we talk about on the show all the time, is some teams seem much more in touch with the players and what's going on inside, and the guys that are dependable, the guys that have work ethic, the guys that are loyal, the guys that are going to produce, you know, and other teams just seem to make it like a business, and they have that distance, and they miss out on the intuition. They miss out on, you know, the personal touch that usually is the difference between putting together a team that wins and a team that's just a bunch of names, you know, on a lineup.
I agree with that, Nick. I mean, it's like some teams are just looking for lightning in a bottle, and unfortunately, I didn't deliver lightning in a bottle to the Orioles, and you know, it was a short time. It was 2 months I was there, but in the 2 months I was there, that was it. You know, they had seen enough, and that's fine. That's part of the business. As a player, our job is to produce. I didn't produce. If you ask, you know, anyone in Baltimore, they might say, "Hey, look, I'm glad we didn't bring that guy." And you know what? Hey, it worked out for the better for me. And you know, I went on. I'm with the Diamondbacks now, and I really enjoyed my time here this past season. And you know, everything happens for a reason. That was just a business move for me that didn't make. And you're right. There's a lot of teams that are really in touch with what goes on. And you know, I went for an organization like the Oakland A's, who I would say they were, you know, really, really in touch with what was going on when it came to their players and everything. To, you know, maybe a couple organizations, I'd say probably didn't have that same feel.
Well, let's talk about teams that are in the World Series that both managers highly respected as well in this matchup. Chris Carpenter coming off a poor last game, and Nate Robertson, who hasn't pitched in 2 weeks, but 2 weeks ago he shut out Oakland for 5 innings. Who are you giving the edge to? I mean, most people obviously would say in St. Louis, Carpenter's the guy. I think he had a 1.81 earned run average this year in St. Louis. What is St. Louis thinking after that interesting game with Kenny Rogers, that controversial performance?
Nick, they're thinking they have their ace on the mound. This is a big game for them. This is by no means a must-win game, but you have your ace on the mound, and you want to win this game, and you're at home. You got them for 3 games at home. They'd like, if I'm St. Louis right now, I'm thinking about a sweep. That's what I'm going for. I mean a sweep at home, and I don't want to see this thing go back to Detroit. Detroit's not a great place to play right now. It's freezing cold. The fans in the city are behind the Tigers as probably as much as they ever have been in the history of the Tigers organization. It's a great atmosphere out there. And if I'm St. Louis, I don't want to see Game 6 back in Detroit, and I sure as heck don't want to see Game 7.
Well, let's go to the catalyst for St. Louis in Pujols. Even with his hamstring being an issue, the bottom line is they're not going to pitch to him if nobody's on base. So don't you think really the pressure is on those early guys in the lineup to give him something to work with, to force Detroit to pay him some respect and give him some balls to hit?
No, I think the most important thing, Nick, is the guys sitting behind him. I think it's you know, how is Jim Edmonds swinging the bat? How is Scott Rowland swinging the bat? You know, these guys are both of them are starting to pick it up a little bit. They're both looking good. So I think regardless, they're going to put Pujols on. If there's guys on or there's guys not on, those guys at first and second, I'd probably be more careful with Pujols than if there was nobody on, obviously. So I'd have no problem loading up the bases to face Edmonds or Rowland. So I think the bottom line is going to be what happens to those two guys. When you're facing a left-handed pitcher, say if they're facing Nate Robertson, you know, it's going to be Rowland who's going to be hitting behind Pujols, and then if you're facing a right-handed pitcher, it's going to be Edmonds hitting behind him. So the bottom line is which one of those two is going to be is going to step up and help St. Louis win that series.
Yeah, the hat's definitely on Rowland. We got a caller from where's he from? From St. Louis. John, you got a question for Eric Burns. Go ahead, my friend.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey,
this is going out. Hey, this is going out to Kenny. Kenny, you can't hide no more, son. Trying to put the pine tar on your hand. They're coming to St. Louis tonight, and we're going to fucking stomp them. Stomp them. That's what I'm sending a shout out.
All right, is that a question?
No, the question, I don't really have a question. I just want to call them and tell them we're going to fucking stomp these dudes.
All righty. That's great. Well, we'd like the effective way of expressing yourself, my friend John, and I'm sure St. Louis feels a lot more confident back there. It's going to be a little bit warmer. One of the things that people say, the pitchers say, by the way, is if you're a pitcher and you're Kenny Rogers and you're 41 years of age, when it's cold like that, that rosin bag doesn't help. You've got to go with something like pine tar. You're looking for something that's going to give you a little bit more of a grip when it's 35-degree or 30-degree wind chill.
I don't blame Kenny Rogers for putting something on his hand. I don't blame him for looking for that better grip. I don't even think it probably affected the game that much. If you want to talk technicalities, though, you got to look at this. It's the rules of the game state that you can't have any foreign substance out there. And if you do, it's immediate ejection and a 10-game suspension. So if you look at it that way, the bottom line is I don't care how cold it is out there, you're not allowed to have it.
Well, we're joined by somebody. I thought you'd have some fun by doing some of the crossbreeding we do in the sports. And Solomon Wilcots, one of the best young talents covering sports, joins us from the NFL Network, from CBS. Solomon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick. How are you doing today?
Hey, you know what? I just love this stuff. I mean, they came down hard on the kickers for supposedly doctoring the balls a few years ago. Then Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, essentially the best pitchers, if you will, in the NFL. They got a rule change with all the other poor little quarterbacks that can't hold on to the ball. And so suddenly they can rub down the balls there. And so now you've got Kenny Rogers. I mean, it just seems like everybody's trying to rub down those little balls, aren't they?
Hey, man, you know how it is. Every little bit you can do to get a little bit of an edge. I think at the end of the day, though, Kenny Rogers, he's just pitching lights out. I mean, he's doing his thing. And so, you know, whether or not there's some little substance or whatever, I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, people are trying to figure out how did he find this fountain of youth and how did he miraculously regain his ability to throw strikes. But at the end of the day, the guy is pitching lights out and he's playing very well.
Hey, Burnsy, we didn't give you a chance to give your pick for tonight. I mean, you think for sure that St. Louis is going to take it out three in a row in St. Louis?
No, I don't think St. Louis is going to take three in a row at all. I think tonight is St. Louis's night, though. If you ask me to pick this game tonight, I think the Tigers are going to win this series. But I think tonight this is St. Louis's game tonight, and this is when the one that they need to win. This is one that they should win. So you got their ace on the mound and Chris Carpenter, and you know it's up to him to go out there and be the Cy Young pitcher that he is.
Final question before he lets you go, and we appreciate it. Maybe you can come on later in the week and give us one last input on the series. But both managers are hands-on. Both managers are great tacticians and strategists, and they give the lie to the idea that it's just a crapshoot. There's a lot of strategy involved, a lot of intuition, a lot of homework as well. Who would be your manager? Putting you on the spot, Jim Leland's great manager. Everybody loves him for a younger team, more experienced team. Tony La Russa has been around for a long time as well. Who do you think has the edge there in strategy?
Well, I don't think really anyone. I mean, you know, they're just two different types of managers. I think they both fit very well within the framework of their teams. You know, as much as the manager's coming to play, Tony seems like he's probably a little more hands-on when it comes to doing the on-the-field things, and I think Jim Leland's a little more hands-on when it comes to motivation and relationships with his guys. And you know, it's just pick whichever one you want. They're both two of the best managers in the game, and they have been for a long time.
All right, buddy. Well, we love seeing you on there on Fox Sports, and we look forward to having you. And maybe you can join us at the end of the week for a little bit of a recap of what's been happening.
Appreciate it, Nick. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thanks, brother. That's Eric Burns, the shy one, and Solomon, I'll tell you what, he gives a lot of fresh energy to covering baseball, which is exactly what it needs, isn't it?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, anytime you can make the game fun and help the viewers to understand the intricacies in terms of what goes on behind the scenes, I think it's always good stuff because fans always want to know a little bit more about the game than what they could see from just watching television.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about that Monday night game. Let's talk about the interesting and rather disturbing incidents of quarterbacks this past weekend having problems, and maybe a little bit of a recap on the interesting combination when you compare the offensive line performance of the Cardinals, a team that's heading in one direction, with Dallas, which still could go either way. When we come back, Solomon Wilcox and our good friend, in this case our Wednesday morning quarterback, Len Dawson, will join us on Head Games. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.
Petroni Vineyards produces the world's finest gold medal estate wines, prized by wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts. Experience Petroni Vineyards Paggio alla Pietra with its rich, seductive flavors. And Petroni Vineyards Tuscan-style extra virgin olive oil is prized by gourmets to create sumptuous recipes. To enjoy these culinary delights, visit PetroniVineyards.com and become a wine club member today. PetroniVineyards.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
If you're self-employed or you run a small business and you need competitive health insurance, pick up the phone and call the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. 866-503-MEGA. You don't even have to leave your home or office. Call us now and a friendly Mega Health representative will come to you and explain your health insurance options. So again, if you're self-employed, run a small business, or if you're on a COBRA plan and it's about to expire and you need dependable, reliable health insurance, call Mega Health now for a free quote. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA. These competitive health insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company, and coverage may not be available in all states, so call now and see if you qualify. 866-503-MEGA. 866-503-MEGA. That's 866-503-MEGA.
My boyfriend's favorite band is coming to town on his birthday. I'm thinking, tickets, perfect gift. What? Sold out? I'm about to lose my cool when the radio goes.
Even when the others say, sorry, sold out, Tickets Now will ask you, where would you like to sit? TicketsNow.com.
I go to TicketsNow.com and Mr. Birthday Boy goes, ooh, baby, you got the sweet seats. Come sit a little closer. Score. Yes.
Tickets Now. The power of in.
Did you hear Ron Barr's interviews with the biggest names in sports last week? Now there's a way to make sure you never miss hearing from your favorite player. Sign up for the Sports Byline USA podcast and never miss a show. With podcasting, we deliver the greatest names in the game directly to your computer every day, automatically. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button and never miss another show. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a seven-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. We're joined by Lenny the Cool, Len Dawson, as well as Solomon Wilcox. Lenny, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
It's our Wednesday morning quarterback session. I figured, Solomon and Lenny, we'd start with the quarterback issue, the fact that Trent Green may be coming back to practice, but he's still out after that concussion for at least two more weeks, and Damon Heward seemed to have done a very good job, competent job in his place, and Ben Roethlisberger has a concussion. Peyton Manning looked like he was headed for one, but he's, for some reason, resilient enough. Maybe it's that big, thick neck of hers. I don't know how he did it, but he withstood two poundings in the Redskins game, and then Hasselbeck's out for 3 weeks. Pointing again to the fact that you've got to have two great quarterbacks in here. Let's start with, speaking of quarterbacks, Drew Bledsoe and this game last night, guys, and what it says for the protection of the quarterback and why the Cardinals are never going to win consistently without it, and even Dallas is not going to be able to do anything without a good running game and a good offensive line. Lenny.
I'm up, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing you can do as a quarterback if you're not getting any time to throw the football, because pass patterns, so much of the pass patterns take time to develop, and you need that protection to let that thing work out. And I'm looking at Drew Brees, and that, you know, sometimes they didn't even slow down those defensive linemen, and I'm watching some of these games where they didn't even block the defensive linemen. Now, Arizona didn't anyway, so Kansas City had that problem early on this season, and they were getting swamped there. I mean, the quarterbacks got knocked out, one of them, Trent Green, and they harassed the other quarterback where he was only taking a one-step drop before throwing the ball, because that's about all the time he needed. Fortunately for Kansas City, they have improved and doing a better job of not only throwing the football, but last ball game running the football as well. So I'll tell you what, that's an interesting situation in Dallas as to what Parcells is going to do, whether he's going to give the young quarterback an opportunity to start and go the whole game, or whether he'll go back to Drew Bledsoe.
Solomon Wilcox, what's your take on that? What do you think the decision? I mean, it seems the decision's already been made, even though Romo made two horrendous decisions late in the game that could have made a difference.
Yeah, I just think the Dallas Cowboys right now are second-guessing themselves big time. They started out the season believing that they had a team that could make it to a Super Bowl. And now they seem to be thinking that Drew Bledsoe is the biggest liability with their football team. And I still believe that, you know what, they're questioning the fact that he's not mobile and he can't run around like Tony Romo. Well, that's the only thing Tony Romo has that maybe Drew Bledsoe doesn't have. I still believe that the quarterback doesn't necessarily have to be a guy who can run around, that he has to be able to make plays with his mind, be able to make good decisions with the football. There's no way you can tell me that they stand a better chance of winning games with Tony Romo, the inexperienced player at the quarterback position. They need to look at their protection schemes. They need to look at protecting him up the middle, keeping him standing upright, so that Drew Bledsoe can put his best foot forward. I think that Drew Bledsoe gives them the best chance of winning ball games, and I think the fact that he's not mobile, in my mind, there's been a lot of quarterbacks who've played a lot of games and gone to the Hall of Fame without being mobile, simply because they make good decisions and they can make the throw.
You're right about that. Let me ask you something. Who are the two best quarterbacks in the league? Would it be Peyton Manning and perhaps Tom Brady? Are they running quarterbacks? No, they are not. They're intelligent quarterbacks and they're very accurate quarterbacks, but they're not that mobile of quarterbacks. You can't do it, period. If you don't protect your quarterback, your passing game is not going to be worth the darn. You have to be able to do that. You know, they should start with the offensive line. That's the problem. It's not Drew Bledsoe and his ability to throw the football, because he can throw the ball about as accurately as anybody in the game, but he does need time to do that.
And you see that with Edgerrin James. I mean, one of the four or five best running backs in the league, and 32 carries for 55 yards. You can't run the ball like Dallas could not last night, and your quarterback's in major trouble. Len, what also happened when LeVar Arrington sacked Bledsoe for a safety? Whose fault is that?
Well, I don't know whose responsibility it is to block him, but you don't ever turn somebody loose. In any situation, you don't turn a linebacker loose, you don't turn a defensive end loose without somebody covering and responsibility of at least trying to check that guy and block him. I don't know whether it was a back's responsibility or whoever it was, but you can't turn anybody loose on that line of scrimmage.
We had Bill Moss talking about how difficult it is to maintain offensive lines. You see, with the upset of Seattle, what Minnesota's offensive line has become with the addition of simply one major talent at left guard. Here's Bill Moss talking about how difficult it is to have continuity at the offensive line these days.
Just given the fact of the salary cap, you can't keep offensive linemen for 5-6 years anymore like you used to be able to. And your offensive line was set in stone, and that's what it was for years. But now it seems to change every year, so you know you have to come to a lot more simple scheme. It's almost a universal scheme if you look around the league. But the zone blocking is a big part of it. But any of that guys, is, you know, is how I would tell you. That's a team that's been getting it done in a multitude of ways too.
That's Bill Moss talking about Indianapolis and zone blocking, more simple blocking schemes, and so they can pick the pieces. They lose one piece of the puzzle, they can put somebody in more quickly. But there also is that, we've talked about this many times, Len, that intuitive sense of a Tom Brady, a Len Dawson, a Peyton Manning, to be able to move quickly right or left or forward as well. And there are times when Drew Bledsoe just doesn't seem to have that.
You know, certain quarterbacks have a sense of when danger is about to happen. You know, without looking at it, you have to be able to feel that, have that sense that now is the time to get rid of the football. You also have to have some timer in the back of your head that say, you know, after 2.5 to 3 seconds, you had better do something against most any football team. And you know, sometimes he seems like he's oblivious to that. And the one thing, see, as a quarterback, you don't want to do. You want to protect the football. You don't want to throw interceptions. And you don't want to get sacked for losses because that makes it too tough to maintain a drive. Now, they changed the rules for the quarterbacks today where you can get outside the pocket, throw the darn thing away. That's not a penalty. It used to be a penalty for intentional grounding, but they can get away with that now. So quarterbacks have to be smart enough to know what they can and what they cannot do. And what one thing you cannot do, you know, how many times have you seen a quarterback stripped of the ball? He stand back there in the pocket, and he's oblivious to the fact that there's people all around him, and he does not protect the quarterback. They're taught to strip him of that ball, and you see it practically in every football game every weekend in the National Football League. So quarterbacks have to be intelligent enough to do a couple of things, and that is protect that football, don't take a loss, and don't take a chance on an interception. Now, you're still going to do that, Nick. It's still going to happen, but you want to do it, minimize it.
And we saw that in the let's move to the San Diego game, and later we'll talk about Sean Merriman, that situation. But in the fourth quarter, Kansas City's up by 2 touchdowns. Damon Heward, now they close it to 1, and Damon Heward gets stripped of the ball, blindsided from behind, took a little bit too much time as he's rolling out to his left, and suddenly, you know, San Diego's got life.
You know something? I've always believed this. Most plays don't work. Yeah. You know, give credit to the defense. And what the thing is, and I'm doing the games for the Chiefs, so I saw that particular play. He should have just gotten rid of it. He got outside the pocket. Get rid of the football. You know, but coaches are always talking about making plays, making plays. Well, making a play is everybody doing their job. And so that you don't have a breakdown here or a breakdown there. And if everybody does their job, then you are going to make plays. But the quarterback is a guy with the football, and he has to be intelligent enough to know that if you're outside that pocket and the pursuit is there without you turning your head around to see it, you know it's there. You know, just get rid of the football.
Solomon, I had San Diego in my top four or top five in the league going into the game. It's always difficult. Kansas City goes from their worst performance, one of the worst performances of the season, down 31-0 against a Pittsburgh at halftime the week before, to playing like a totally different team at home as well. What does this game mean when you realize and you factor in it was Kansas City at home? What does this game mean for San Diego?
Well, I think it was one of those games where obviously Marty Schottenheimer had previously coached at Kansas City, had coached that football team, and I think he really wanted to win that game for a number of different reasons. The fact that there were some old ties there, fact that he wanted and understands that he's got to keep his team close enough to remain in striking distance to the Denver Broncos, who appear to be pulling away from just about everyone in the AFC. I think there was a lot riding on that game, and the fact that he wanted to see his young quarterback, Phillip Rivers, grow up a little bit and go into Arrowhead Stadium and be able to handle a tough environment and still be able to play well. So I think all those things were riding on that. And then the fact that, you know what, if you're going to lose your best linebacker to some kind of suspension for violating the league substance abuse program in Sean Merriman, you know that the wins are going to be more difficult to come by in the future. So, gosh, you want to go ahead and get this win under your belt so it gives you at least a little bit of cushion for those four games while he's suspended until he gets back. So I think there were a lot of things riding on this game, the fact that they wanted to continue their momentum and be able to show that they are indeed one of the top teams in the AFC. Took a huge step backwards, and I actually thought Kansas City would win the game, even though they had a poor performance in Pittsburgh. I thought Herman Edwards would really get his team's attention after that poor performance and get them ready to play, and they always play so much better at Arrowhead, and I don't know that many visiting teams coming in there understand it until they've had the opportunity to go in there and play. You just can't verbalize it for players. They have the experience to know what a big difference it is.
Hey, guys, let's shift to my favorite subject, of course, which is kickers. And what a tale of two teams when you look at Josh Brown last week in a 54-yarder to beat right at the buzzer to beat Seattle. And then you've got the Cardinals' game that could have been won, a huge victory over Chicago. Instead, they fell apart, and they fell apart again yesterday, which says, I think, really the end of the season for the Cardinals in every way. Atlanta, and I'm going to make my point here, that Bill Cowher called a timeout too late before that original 56-yard field goal attempt. If you look at it, he actually calls it too late. The ball was already snapped, and luckily Atlanta got another chance, and Morton Anderson nailed the final chance to win that game. And you move on to Tampa Bay, a 62-yarder, and suddenly the Eagles, who had an amazing run at the end, they are defeated in a big game. And Kansas City, you know, a 48-yarder, it's called back because some stupid offside penalty, movement, and they come back and hit a 53-yarder. So here we have parity, and we have games, literally, the confidence of teams riding on whether that kicker makes it in the end or he doesn't. Leonard.
Isn't that something? The guy who was working on his golf swing through training camp, he's the guy that's deciding the outcome of games. Who would have thought it, right, Nick?
But it gives hope to all us old people.
Yeah, well, no, it comes down to that, though. I think that's how important kickers are, because we know it is a league of parity. We know that the worst team and the best teams, there's really not that much separating a lot of these teams on any given Sunday, and that the kickers are going to come down, going to really be vitally important to how the game unfolds. And so it's part of it. You just got to live with it, and that's why you got to really make sure that you can put the kicker under as much pressure as possible during the week in practice, having those impromptu moments.
So he's ready for it.
Where you got to get them ready for those pressure moments. And a guy like Lawrence Tyne, I can tell you right now, he didn't flinch. But you can't say the same for Neil Rackers, who missed field goals with the game on the line for two consecutive weeks. I think there are some kickers who are so much more prepared than others.
We're going to have to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to shift to this controversy with Sean Merriman and what it means for San Diego and its great season. When we come back, final thoughts with Len Dawson and Solomon Wilcox. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Network.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASC also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASC can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASC now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-839-4648, 800-839-4648. Not available in all states.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over-limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596. 800-981-7596.
I just basically apologize to them for this being a distraction, and especially the critical time that we're going through right now as a team.
That's Sean Merriman. We've got a caller from San Diego who has a question for us. Go ahead, my friend.
Yes. Am I on with Sean Merriman right now?
You're not on with him right now. That was just him earlier apologizing to his team.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know what? I think for the San Diego fans is not to get down and disheartened, because one game and one player does not make a season. And Schottenheimer has put together a very professional staff there that acts very well in adversity. As you can see, sometimes the Chargers are getting their tails kicked in the first half. They come out the second half, they make the proper adjustments, and they get back in the ball game. Now, I think what happens in the second half of the season is going to be the telltale here. Now, if we can get one.
All right,
game,
my friend. Well, listen, we told you we only have 15 seconds, but we appreciate your point. But, Solomon, how big a blow is this to San Diego at a critical time in the season for them?
Well, I think he's more than just a physical presence on the field. I think he is an emotional leader also. And remember, they had already lost one starting linebacker in Steve Foley. Sean Phillips is also out. So I think it's going to hurt them significantly. But I still think they're a very good football team. They'll have to still go out and try to win games. But it won't be as easy without Sean Merriman in the lineup.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, Solomon, as always. Leonard Dawson, final thoughts on what this means for San Diego. We got 15 seconds.
Well, not only the linebacker, but also Phillips also got hurt in the Kansas City game. That is a big blow, and it was a big blow in the ball game. But I really don't understand how anybody could get steroids. You know, with all the notoriety that's going around, how could you take a chance on anything? And I understand the league, the first time it happens, you test positive, they don't do anything, and the second time they do. After the first time, I would think that they'd be so cautious, there'd be no way in the world they would be caught taking steroids.
All righty, well, thanks for joining us, Leonard. Appreciate it. And thanks for listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. We'll see you tomorrow.